The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to talk about listening to the Dharma. How to listen to a Dharma talk. We will ignore this, hope it'll all be right. How to listen to a Dharma talk. Because sometimes there are misconceptions about it. It's not like going to a lecture and be given a talk on a subject that you kind of listen to and absorb and understand with the brain. It's different. A Dharma talk has a number of different functions. Firstly, it conveys information about the Buddha's teaching, how to deal with things that come up, what the teachings are, the Noble Eightfold Path, all these things, how to put the teaching into practice. It also can inspire and encourage us to keep going on in our training. We come to, and we're encouraged because there are other people who are training, we hear about how to do it, and it just helps us on our way. And it is also the turning of the wheel of the law, the wheel of the Dharma. And this is the most important aspect, and it's also the most subtle, and I'll talk about that a little bit after. But when you come to a Dharma talk, instead of trying to understand it and kind of think about it and absorb it with the brain, remember it all and go away knowing exactly everything that's been said, think of it more as a form of meditation. We all come here and we all sit still. Don't worry if things aren't completely clear that are said, if the person hasn't explained it really well, or if you can't quite understand it, or it's something that's not within your experience, or whatever it may be. Don't worry, just let it go in. If it's hard to remember everything, if the talk is long, and by the end of the talk you've forgotten what the beginning was, don't worry, just be there. Come and be there. Because it's a different way of understanding. We just come and we sit still as though we were coming to a meditation period. You just had two meditation periods. Think of this as a third one. And just to be as open and still as possible, open mind and an open heart, and just let it go in. No expectations, no judgments, just let the talk kind of go inside. I'm going to read two quotations that I found really helpful about how to listen to Dharma talks. Great Master Bankei, The Unborn, which many of you may have read. There's a little bit in here he talks about listening to the Dharma. You should all listen to my words as if you were newly born this very day. If something's on your mind, if you have any preconception, you can't really take in what I say. But if you listen as if you were a newborn child, it'll be like hearing me for the first time. Since then there's nothing in your mind, you can take it right in, grasp it even from a single word, and fully realize the Buddha's Dharma. Really succinct, clear. Not so easy to do, but we do our best. Ajahn Chah, another one of the great Theravada masters of the forest tradition. He's a Thai master. And then in one of his talks he says this: "This is the teaching for today and I offer it to you. I've recorded it on tape. If listening to Dharma makes your heart at peace, that's good enough. You don't need to remember anything. Some may not believe this. If we make our heart peaceful and just listen, letting it pass by but contemplating continuously like this, i.e. sitting in meditation, then we're like a tape recorder. After some time when we turn it on, everything is there. Have no fear that there won't be anything. As soon as you turn on your tape recorder, everything is there. I wish to offer this to every bhikkhu and to everyone. Some of you probably know only a little Thai, but that doesn't matter. May you learn the language of the Dharma. That's good enough. When I first came as a posh and then a novice, Reverend Master G would give us wonderful talks. I wouldn't understand half of them. And afterwards, I wouldn't be able to remember much of what you'd said. And I used to feel terrible about this. I thought, here I am. Here's Reverend Master doing these talks. And I feel like I'm missing it all. You know, I'm just sitting here like a bump on a log, distracted, sleepy sometimes, just not understanding. It felt like there was some kind of great karmic obstruction that I couldn't get through. I wanted to listen with a clear and open mind, fully attentive, little brain totally alert, every fiber of attentiveness right there, you know, absorbing everything. It wasn't that way. And I'd really regret this. And I'd go away thinking, me. I've missed three quarters of the Dharma. It's like it just kind of washed by and fallen out and I'd missed it. But it does go in. It does go in. And later on, even if I couldn't remember exactly what she'd said, I still can't remember her Dharma talks. But there was a flavor and something would be there. It's the, like the rain of the Dharma that waters the seed. You don't feel it being watered. You don't even feel the water going in by the time it gets down to this little seed down here. It just, it's a kind of a subtle penetration of the Dharma. And you don't always know what's going on. It goes where it needs to go. It hits those little roots down there. So when we come to a talk, we just sit in meditation, as still as we can, with an open mind and an open heart. No expectations. You know, sometimes we don't know what we're going to, usually we don't know what we're going to, what the talk's going to be about. It doesn't matter. Just, it's better that way, I think. Just to come and hear what's talked about. No judgments about the talk. Is this a good talk? Is it a bad talk? Is it a short talk? Is it a long talk? Is it something I really want to hear about? Or is it kind of something that doesn't really apply to me? Don't worry about it. Just let it go in. Even if it's not, it seems like it's hard to understand. Like Reverend Master Jiyu's talks. You know, I couldn't understand all of what she said. But that's okay. Because something understood. So don't worry. No judgments about our own response. Sitting and listening to the Dharma, as in sitting in meditation, it takes great effort. You're trying to be still. You're not trying to have a little brain as I was, every little cell, you know, on guard and alert and ready for action. But you're doing your best to be still and mindful and aware and open. And this takes great effort. Sometimes we get distracted. And it's just like with meditation. Oh, I got distracted. Just come back. Don't think, oh my God, I got distracted. I'm here at the Dharma talk. It's Sunday. Here's Reverend Master Reka lecturing and I'm, you know, don't worry about that. Just come back. No judgment. Just come back. Because otherwise it just adds to the stuff. And there's no need for that. Everyone gets distracted occasionally. There's a bird suddenly yells outside or something happens. Somebody goes in or out or something. Just come back. Don't worry. No judgment because that just muddies things. We do our best to be attentive and keep returning. Sometimes people fall asleep. I used to have a lot of trouble with this. Again, my God, I've fallen asleep. I can't believe this. You know, it's there's different reasons. Sometimes we're just really tired. Just do our best to be alert and attentive. If you find you've fallen asleep, just come back best we can. As in meditation, do the things you do in meditation. If you start falling asleep, you know, open the eyes, sit up straight, take some deep breaths, and just really do our best to put all our energy into being present. Sometimes there's a karmic obstruction that seems to cause sleepiness. This is sort of what I think was in my case. I would fall asleep at Dharma talks a lot. And I finally figured that it was because of some just karmic obstruction. It's not a fault, it's not a badness. Oh, I just need to come back. Just keep working on it. It's not a thing to judge ourselves with. It's just something to work on. Just to do our best to be awake and alert and come back. It's nice if we don't kind of fall clunk senseless on the floor in the middle of a Dharma talk. It'd be a little embarrassing. Do you find you've nodded off for a moment? Oh, just come back. It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes something's being said that we don't want to hear, and that's a reason sometimes people fall asleep. It's like, I don't want to hear this. No, nod off. Again, don't worry. Just come back. Just come back. And eventually the karmic obstructions will clarify. Sometimes it's really hard to sit still, as in meditation. Sometimes it seems like it's fine. You know, we're still, we're mindful, we're energetic. Sometimes we just feel terrible. We want to move around all the time. We want to leave. We just feel really, you know, crabby, uneasy, restless. Sometimes we feel physically unwell. This sometimes happened to me. I would just, occasionally it still happens, I would just feel awful, ill. And I thought, goodness, what's going on? Again, I think it's just karma. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to judge that. If you find this happens, any of these obstructions, just let them go by, just as in meditation. Sit still, let them come up, let them pass by. If you feel irritated or whatever it may be, just let it come and go. Doesn't mean that, you know, there's something wrong with you or there's something wrong with the talk. It's just our own karmic stuff. If we were all perfect, you know, we'd all come and sit, we'd be perfectly aware, attentive, alert every moment. We don't do that. We get distracted and so forth. When we come to Dharma talks, we'd all be completely open, absorbing everything. Yes, I understand. Yes, I get it. This is wonderful. I go and put it into practice and there's no problem. It doesn't happen that way for most of us. Most of us have difficulty. We don't understand it. We sort of think, what? I don't get this. You know, we don't like it sometimes. And we just need to be patient with that and accept our own shortcomings and difficulties and just do our best. No judgment. Just accept the stuff with compassion and do our very best, as in meditation, to be still and to accept. Sometimes we feel the great resistance. You know, just, I can't believe they said this. I don't like it, you know. Don't resist the resistance. Just sit still and let it come and go. Don't think you're an ungrateful being. We're here. We've turned up. This is good. Yeah. There's another thing I want to read to you. Reverend Master Daishin Morgan wrote a really nice article in this last journal, which one of the monks drew my attention to. This is the transcription of a talk he has given. And at the beginning he says, I'd like to share with you something of the turning of the wheel of the law, which is in some ways the function of a talk such as this. It's not just one of the functions, it's the function, the turning of the wheel of the law. And to share it with him, with people, not just to do it himself, but to share it with everybody, because we all turn the wheel of the law together. We all do the training together. By coming here, you make a request. Just by coming, we are asking for the Dharma. And when you ask for the teaching, something is called forth, which is the turning of the wheel of the law. Just by our very presence, our coming here, it calls forth the Dharma. If the person doing the talk were just sitting in a little box talking into a tape recorder, it would not be the same. It would be very strange and hard to do. Probably possible, but something would be missing. Because it's the people who are here that are a large part of the business. In order to hear, receive, and follow that teaching, what is needed is that you entrust yourself to it. We all do this. We entrust ourselves to the Dharma. We come, we sit here, we're open, we're listening, as best we can, and we entrust ourselves to it. It's like we launch ourselves into it, as we do in meditation. But in a Dharma talk, there's somehow more of that. I'm going to read more of that in a minute, so I'll leave it alone for a minute. The turning of the wheel of the law, it's something we all do together. It can be seen as the circulation of the breathing that we do in meditation, up the spine and down the front. That's part of the turning of the wheel of the law. It's also the teaching of the Dharma, which we all do in our very life, whether we're sitting here doing the talk, or we're washing dishes, or talking to somebody else, or we're all here listening. We're all turning the wheel of the law when we're here and in at other times. But here, when we're sitting in meditation together, or at a Dharma talk, we're all doing it together. We're all part of it. There's nobody who is not part of the talk in that sense. Sometimes we do our Dharma talks during meditation at the monks' retreats. We're all in the meditation hall sitting in our places, and Rav Mastareka will sit on his place and do his talk. And then this turning of the wheel of the law is very apparent. Sometimes during our lay retreats, the one we're just about to have, the Dharma talks are done when people are sitting in meditation, in formal meditation. And again, this turning of the wheel is more clear because we're already sitting. The person comes in and does the talk. And that turning of the wheel is very apparent, both for the person talking and for everybody. Our presence, our coming to the talk, our sitting here together, calls it forth. We're all doing it together. One person happens to be the person who's talking. Just because they happen to be the person who's doing the talking, it's not because they've got something we haven't got, or that they've got something that they're giving to us. They're all kind of doing the talk together. Does that make sense? The speaker does some kind of preparation for the talk ahead of time, but that's only part of the thing. A large part of it is what is called forth by the very presence of those who come. So we're all here doing it together in a sense. Some of our speakers don't prepare at all. I do. But you need to do a bit of the preparation. You can't just sit there and read something. It doesn't really work. Okay. By saying that I'm wishing to share with you the turning of the wheel of the law and asking for your trust, I'm not giving myself a particular special position. Because the position I take in this talk is the position that every atom in the universe holds. He's talking about the Avatamsaka scripture, which says that every being, every grain of dust contains countless Buddha lands. And this being so, there's nothing special about any of it. All of it is filled with Buddhas, is filled with the Dharma. And so the person doing the talk isn't in any particular position, because everybody is in this position. We're all, in a sense, teaching the Dharma all the time. We're all filled with Buddha lands. We just don't know it. Okay. The speaker just tries to meditate and stay out of the way. One of our monks here, I keep getting help from the other monks because it really, said that a Dharma talk is kind of like a ceremony. During a ceremony, we're all doing our best to meditate, be still, and do something together. Same with the Dharma talk. We're all here doing something together, and we're all doing our best to be still. Again, the person who's doing the talk, or who's the celebrant, is just trying to do their best to be still, keep out of the way, and just be part of the process, as it were. And we're working on letting go of our judgments and worry. When we're doing a ceremony, when we're doing a talk, when we're here doing our meditation practice, letting go of all the stuff that arises, our own inadequacy. Oh my goodness, I don't know which way to turn in the ceremony. Or I seem to be falling asleep. I can't understand the talk. Whatever it may be. Or when meditation, you know, I don't seem to be able to meditate. I can't sit still. My legs hurt. All this kind of stuff. We just let all these things go by, whether we're at a talk, at a ceremony, at meditation. Just doing it and trusting that it's good. You don't always know how it works. You usually don't know how it works. And listening to a talk is the same. We don't know quite how it works. It seems more obvious. We come, we hear a talk about the Dharma, we go away and put it into practice. But it's more subtle than that. There's the turning of the wheel of the law, which is what we don't completely understand. We just do it. It's not always clear how it works or how it helps us. We practice faith. We keep coming, we keep doing it. We keep coming to the ceremonies, we keep coming to the talks, we keep coming to meditation, we keep coming together to do something, knowing that it helps us because we feel it help. And again, that seed doesn't necessarily feel the water trickling down and know how it works. We don't dig it up and look at the roots to see how it's doing. We just let it alone. Let this rain trickle down and let it do its work. Sometimes we feel joyful and grateful. Sometimes we feel awful. It doesn't matter. We just come with whatever we've got. When we feel obstructed, when we feel sleepy, when we feel resisting, crabby, angry, I don't want to be there. If we just come anyway, it's like meditating when you don't feel like doing it. It's a really good practice to just do it anyway. And to let go of all that stuff. Because it's not the reality. The reality is the Buddha nature. That which in us, which knows that the training is good to do. Similar with talks. Sometimes we feel we understand it, we're grateful. Seems like it's just a thing. Sometimes we just feel terrible. Feel like we're out of step, out of sorts. We don't know what's being talked about. You know, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. Sometimes I feel it like it really hits the spot. This is just what I needed to hear today. That's just great. You know. Sometimes we just feel like we've missed the whole thing. Doesn't matter. It sounds terribly negative. I didn't mean to say that half the time we hate our Dharma talks. I didn't mean it to sound like this. But in fact, occasionally these things come up. We just feel like we're tired or we don't quite understand it all or whatever. And it doesn't matter. Just do your best. Sit still and be as open as you can and trust that it's working. I think what I'm really trying to address is not so much that we feel terrible about the Dharma talks, but that it doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter if we feel we don't completely understand everything that's said. We just come and let it work. And we let it sink in. We don't have to be doing something. We're all part of the talk. We're all here together. And it's like with anything in training. We don't have to feel we ought to be doing something. We just come. We just listen as best we can. And we just sit still as openly and as best we can. And that's all we have to do. There's nothing else that we have to worry about. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, listening to the Dharma isn't always in this formal way, of course. Sometimes it's informal. Somebody gives you a piece of advice, someone you work with or live with, or it can be a little niggle from our own heart. I should be doing such and such. You know? Or, I need to be really careful here. I'm just about to break the precepts. If I'm not really careful, I'd be better watch it. And listening to the Dharma also means listening in these ways. Listening to advice from somebody, even if it's not advice you particularly want to hear, sometimes it's just what we don't want to hear. Listening to our own heart that's saying, take care here. You need to do this. Don't do that yet. These kinds of things. Just to listen to that. That's also listening to the Dharma. Just being still enough to hear that and to let our own obstructions and our own stuff just be aside, not to be worried by them. Openness and stillness, letting go of our judgments. Both of what's said to us, either by our own heart here or by somebody else, and judgments of our own response, you know. The lecture verse, which we say at the beginning of our talks, the unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth, is seldom met with even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see it, see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. This isn't, we're all saying this together, both the person speaking and everybody listening. It's not like somebody's coming in and saying, I'm now going to proclaim the unsurpassed and perfect truth, you know, because I know it and I'm perfectly enlightened and everything. It's not like that at all. It's just that the Dharma is the Dharma. A little tiny bit of teaching is the Dharma. It's all the teaching. Nothing separate, nothing different. And to hear the Dharma from whoever's speaking it, in whatever way they do, whether in a formal sense or at other times, just that little bit of advice that we didn't really want, or that little niggle, you know, in our own heart. It's all the unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth. Seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas, someone who's kind enough to us to tell us what we need to hear, to say that which is hard to say, is the act of a real friend to tell us what we need to hear, even when we don't want to hear it. Seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. We're all seeing and hearing it. We're all remembering it and accepting it together. We all turn the wheel of the law together. None of us separate. None of us outside of it. All of us here doing it together. So that's how I would listen to a Dharma talk. There's one little final thing I'm going to read, which sounds a little bit different, but actually it's the same. 84,000 songs. Where is it? I had a little thing here. Here it is. Keisei Sanshoku, the rippling of a valley stream, the contour of a mountain in the Shobogenzo. The layman Toba, who has been training for many years, a faithful person, one night at night he hears the valley stream, and he knows that this is the voice of the Dharma. He has an experience of awakening, and he writes this poem, composes this poem. The valley stream's rippling is indeed the eloquent tongue of Buddha. The mountain's contour is not other than that of the body of Buddha. With the coming of night, I heard the 84,000 songs, but with the rising of the sun, how am I ever to offer them to others? The Dharma's always there. The 84,000 songs are always there. They're there in the valley stream, and they're there in the freeway. It's nothing separate, nothing pure, nothing impure, nothing sacred, nothing mundane. It's all there together. And when we come to hear the Dharma, that's one of the forms of it. But the really important thing is our openness to that, to hearing those 84,000 songs. At all times, they're always there. Sometimes we hear them, sometimes we don't. And when we don't hear them, which is most of the time, we can know that they're still being sung. The voice of the Dharma is always being given. It's always, the wheel of the law is always turning. Whether we seem to feel it or we don't, it's turning within us and within all beings. And our coming here together is part of that. Does anyone want to ask anything about any of this or say anything about any of this? Thank you. Thank you. Good. Good. Good.
Where do people hear birds sing, or hear something in nature, or see something on the bird? And then say, oh, yes, yes,
yes. 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 It is. And there's also deeper than that too. It is the 84,000 songs. And it's not just the beauty of the thing. It's that which underlies it also. Yes, yes. But it points to that, it points in that direction. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, from that view. I think so. I think so. I think so, because it actually turns that wheel. And this turning of the wheel is on a level that the brain can't keep up with, because it works down here, much lower down, as it were, on a more cellular level, as it were. And I think it helps. And I think it all just helps us to do that, and to deepen our faith, even when we don't understand and we don't remember what we just read. And it's not an emotional thing. It's not like, oh, I read this nice thing, it moves me emotionally. You're talking about something deeper than emotion, something that's, that moves the heart in a certain way. So we don't want to confuse something emotional with that turning of the wheel. Does that make sense? Yes. Thank you. Yes?
In the literature, like the art of the poem, all of the references to the coming of the Buddha, the students in the coming of the Buddha, and birds, mountains, on the one hand, it seems to me that those kinds of people are still in sequence with the involved. It seems to me that that's a not the meaning, but it seems to be an easier way to see that truth. Yeah. Isn't part of the
yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes. That's a very good point. It is. It is part of the 84,000 songs. The suffering of the world is not a separate thing from that. And that's why, in a simplistic way, the freeway is just as much the 84,000 songs as a valley stream. And the pain and suffering that people experience are also part of the 84,000 songs. So not to get distracted by the beauty or the serenity or the nice feelings, to thinking that's it, because it's also within that which is not so comfortable, exactly the same. Sometimes the suffering, in fact, drives us deeper to see what really is beneath both the joy and the sorrow and the light and the dark and so forth. So thank you, yes, yes.
And I have no conscious awareness of where the heart opening is coming from, or what it's saying to me inside. You know, all of a sudden, it's different.
Yes, that's part of it too, yes. And you don't know, you can't create that, but you can keep out of its way. And, yes. Yes, Rupanamanda. Listen here. It's just like what Ajahn Chah was saying. Some of you only speak a very little Thai, which is the language he was using. But don't worry, learn the language of the Dharma. And it's helpful if you can hear. You try and speak up. This mic, I don't know. It's awkward. Anyway, we're trying to communicate here. We're doing our best to be audible. Sometimes you can't hear something. So when you can't hear it, listen with the heart. And sometimes if it's hard to hear, it actually makes you more alert because you're really trying to hear. And although it's hard work, it kind of makes you attentive in a certain way. So in a way, it's an advantage, but it's difficult. It's like it's not too easy. But we try to not make it hard. Don't be discouraged. Don't despair if that happens. I think you hear what you really need. You get what you really need. You know. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.